arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away, and every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Seated. Before you do that, stand up for a second. Let's greet everybody. Give them a greeting. David's going to come and share announcements.
Hello. Can we do what an old football coach of mine used to do? We used to call them up-downs, and the coach, you know what I'm talking about, up-down. Can we do that? No, maybe not. Okay. Want to welcome you all to First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're very glad you're here. If you're a visitor, would you raise your hand? There we go. An integral part of what we're trying to do. Everybody see your sail? I know the folks that have been here for a long time know what I'm talking about, but if you're a visitor, please tear out this section of the sail and fill it out, because we'd like to stay in touch with you and help you find a life group and help you navigate what we got going on at First Baptist Church of Stuart. One of those things is our life groups. Back in the day, we'd call them Sunday school, but we call them life groups now, and we'd like to help you get to the right one of those. And this week, we're especially thankful, and we're featuring Melanie Nealon, who's our preschool group coordinator and one of our life group leaders. Is Melanie here, or is she with me?
She's a preschool.
Something else, and she's in preschool. Imagine that, the director. Okay. on Sunday the 14th, we're going to worship at the Stuart Lodge. The seniors are. What else do we have? And then the ladies are meeting at Key West Diner next Saturday at 10 a.m. for a yummy lunch and fellowship at the Key West Diner. But this morning, oh, I'm sorry, one other thing. No life group leaders meeting today. So if you're a life group meeting, you got the rest of the day. Don't clap. But one of the reasons I wanted to do announcements today, we also want to welcome Jen Russell. She's going to speak to us a little bit later. She's with Martin County School Board candidate, and there we go. There she is. And one of the reasons I wanted to do announcements today, next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Pastor's 30th anniversary in this very room. We're going to have a meal, a time of fellowship, an opportunity. If you'd like to share your experiences with your pastor's 30 years here and stuff, please let us know. We're also going to take an offering again and to bless Pastor. And we hope that this is the first 30 years of many more to come. So please plan on staying for lunch next week afterwards. Chef Karen Grantham's going to make her world-famous ziti and stuff, so it's something to look forward to. So invite some friends. Please be real proactive in this, if you would. Yesterday I was at Cartenders, and I think a lot of us have been to Cartenders. You know, he's a friend of the church that's fixing cars. And I told him that it's Pastor's 30th anniversary, and, you know, to bring his family and stuff, and he was physically excited about that and stuff. Folks that can't get to church or haven't been here for a long time, I think it'll bless their heart to be in church with us next Sunday, especially for the sweet celebration of Pastor's 30 years. So, questions? It's going to be a quiz later. No quiz, just teasing.
Thank you, David. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like to give you some instructions if you want to get your ribbon. What we're going to do with this, as you know, immediately following the service, we're going to be going over to Reborn Farm and have a prayer of dedication in the tent. And we want to invite you to write your name, probably just your first name, on these ribbons. And then when we go over there, you can choose a bush, a tree, something there, and tie this around there as just kind of a demarcation of your identification with our property. 40 acres. Praise the Lord for all those that have been working the last few weeks, painting, cleaning, repairing, all the things going on. And you'll find that the property's getting better and better and better. It looks great. And we praise the Lord for that 40 acres. And to give you an idea, the front area around the house that's mowed is more property, fence to fence, border to border, all the way back, than we have here downtown with our basketball court, this property, and then our preschool and high school property across the street. So that's just the area that's mowed in the front. And I'll be glad to take any of you on a car tour, four at a time, and show you kind of some neat visual dimensions to the property. As you know, I mentioned last week that two things. Next Sunday, we're going to be meeting in the sanctuary. We'll be back in the sanctuary. And I've got the air conditioner fixed over there. So let's give the Lord a hand. That's essential. That's essential. And then we're immediately following today, if you have the strength, we're going to be putting all the chairs back up. And then we're also going to be taking the tent down and putting it into our disaster relief trailer. It's there right beside it. So we can use your help if you want to help us. And if you took your vitamins this morning and you're ready to go, we'd love to have that help. And excited about what's going on and how God's working. But if you would, there's some Sharpies available if you want to write your name on it at the end. But we're going to carpool over immediately following. If you'll look in your cell, there's also a diagram of our parking, the way we're going to need to park so that everybody can get in and get out. If you're handicapped or walking is a little bit of a problem for you, you'll pull on through that U-shaped driveway over by the tent, cross between the trees, and go out and park parallel to the disaster relief trailer. There'll be some parking attendants, some of our folks there directing you, and we're going to have a great time over there. We won't be there long. We're going to sing a couple of songs. I've got a short scripture to read to you from my devotions this morning that absolutely fits, was amazing, and we're just going to have a prayer time together. And so I want to encourage you to come over, and there'll be water, cold water available if you're to slack your thirst. But sign your ribbons and let's tie them on the property somewhere and dedicate it to the Lord. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and ask you, Almighty God, to meet with us. Just pour your spirit out upon us. And we pray, dear God, that you'd be glorified in a supernatural way in our presence. Thank you, Lord, for the great salvation that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for procuring for us eternal life and forgiveness. And we just want to lift this time up to you and ask you to anoint it with your presence in our day today. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing out on the property, the testimony that's going to be there for your mighty Son, the Lord Jesus. And we do pray you'll use it as a tremendous fish net to draw this area, this Treasure Coast, to Christ. We just want to tell you we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." David, would you lead us in prayer for the bread?
Lord, I come before you and thank you for the sacrifices made for us and how you work out all things for our good. Help us to be reminded of this all through the week so we can be a witness for you and help move your plans forward. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Larry, would you lead us in prayer for the juice?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for dying for our sins. We thank you for going through all the punishment that you did before you even went to the cross. We thank you for the shedding of your blood that we may have eternal life with you and be with you in heaven. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to ask Jennifer, if she would, Jen Russell, to come. I'm going to ask her a few questions, and she's going to share with us. She's running for the school board for the area of Salerno.
Well, for all of it. So it's countywide.
Countywide. But your district is?
Hope Sound.
Hope
Sound. In Indiantown, yes.
In Indiantown. Okay, good. Would you start, Jen, by sharing your testimony with us?
Absolutely. So my testimony is really pretty simple, but I think it's still extraordinary. My husband and I were very blessed to grow up in Christian homes. Our whole lives, we've believed in Jesus. He's been our foundation. He's been our strength through everything. And we have really strived to be obedient. And that right there, I mean, my great-grandma is the one I can remember when I was 3 years old, sitting in her truck, and she actually led me to the Lord. But my husband and I both, we grew up at the same church. We went to a Christian school. We teach our children the same values that we have, and we've been so blessed to be able to actually continue our walk with the Lord our entire lives.
Why are you running for school board?
To be honest, it's because I feel the Lord has called me to do that, and I'm being obedient. And no matter how hard it's been, I'm being obedient, and I know He's walking this with me. But I was a former assistant administrator at a private Christian school, and so having a child excel and just watching setting them up for success is something that is important to me. And I feel that coming from that setting, I offer a different perspective. I also bring my conservative values. And I also have the understanding of what a teacher goes through on a daily basis. I understand what the students are going through. I understand what the parents are going through. I was working closely with all stakeholders. So I feel I bring that to the table. And I hope that I can do a wonderful job, that I'm given that opportunity to do a wonderful job for our county.
Jen, would you introduce us to your husband and son?
Yes. So my husband, Josh, is right there. I've been married to him for 18 years. And our son, Seth, he's 10 years old. We are missing our daughter today. We actually have to go pick her up after this. She's at church youth camp. So she's 14. Her name's Kira.
Very good. What are your positions on the activism in our schools, like making eco-warriors, LGBTQ, RSP, LMNOP?
So, yes. So just recently, the last couple weeks, I was endorsed by Governor DeSantis. I do believe in what he's doing with keeping all of the political agendas. Thank you. It was a huge blessing because many people don't understand that it's a nonpartisan race. We can't get up here and say, there's not going to be an R or a D behind my name. It doesn't specify. So you would have no idea if you have not heard from me or know what I stand for, what I believe in, and the conservative values that I hold. So having Governor Ron DeSantis to endorse me, that tells you where I stand on every issue. I do support what he's doing and keeping the political agendas out of our classroom. I believe that we need to focus on the basics. Right now, our reading proficiency is 51% in the school, and our rating has dropped to a B. We have time for nothing else. We need to focus on education.
Excellent, excellent. You and your husband have homeschooled your kids at times, yes?
Yes.
And then you've also been a part of a Christian school.
Yes, sir.
With them and with your employment. Would that be a criticism by some of you being involved with the public school system?
Absolutely. Both of those things are things that I get criticized for.
How do you answer that?
Well, you know, when it comes to my children being homeschooled, my son has a different story. He was mute till he was 2.5. And I actually took 2 years off of work to help him and get him to where he is. And once we got him speaking and going, he is a very, very smart boy. He's 10 years old, but he's in seventh grade. And so that's part of the reason as to why we have chosen homeschooling. And we allowed his sister to have the same option.
As y'all know, a couple of years ago, Miss Deffenthaler, and this is the district that Jen is running for, that she made a strong play for the LGBTQ agenda. And many of us as pastors and Christian leaders, some of you went, we went to the school board, made a stand about that. And so she is not running for re-election, but she is your opponent was recruited by her, is that correct?
She's endorsed by her.
By her. And so we really need to be aware of these things as we vote and vote our Christian agenda. And we cannot love what God hates. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And we cannot endorse it. No. And so I just want to encourage y'all. Praise God, Jen, for you running your courage. And let's give her a hand.
Thank you.
Toby Oberdorf grew up spiritually in this church, gave his life to Christ, baptized, got married here, and as you know, he's one of our representatives. When he was running, he was talking about all the criticisms he received, and he made the statement, I've thought about who would be the perfect candidate to run for office that wouldn't be criticized, and the only conclusion he said he could come up with is it would have to be a preborn child. But he said even at that, they would say, well, you know, they kicked their mother, and so there's no way around it. So just want to encourage you, stand strong.
Thank you.
And I want to encourage all of y'all to pray as we move into this election. Amen. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Please pray with me over the offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this morning to be in this room amongst your saints and the Treasure Coast. Father, we pray that you'll bless this morning. You bless the message that you left on Pastor's heart. Father, give us ears to hear it and understand it and to put it into action. We thank you for the praise team bringing us into a spirit of worship. Father, please bless this offering and bless those who give it to you, Father. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As you know, we started looking at a passage in 1 Peter 2 weeks ago, and we want to conclude that today. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, the certainty of our invaluable salvation, the wonderful, great, tremendous salvation that God has given us. We're going to begin in verse 3 and read the passage together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. It's interesting that it talks about in this, in verse 5, to be revealed in the last time. And actually, the last days are the last 2,000 years. in scriptural terminology. It's not just the rapture year or the rapture generation, and it's this entire 2,000 years have been the last days. And we've been under the revelation of Jesus Christ for that entire time. Now, I'd like for us to look at a few points in relationship to this week. First of all, our certain salvation is praiseworthy. If you'll look in verses 7 through 9, that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We see here that it talks about this, and though you have been seen, have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So here we see that this is a praiseworthy salvation that God has given us. It's interesting, most people don't know that we are one of the only singing groups worshiping in the world. Hindus don't sing, Muslims don't sing, and actually Jews have cantors, and they kind of chant, and there's something similar to singing, but traditionally not necessarily classified as that. We worship and get excited about the things of God as we sing about him and rejoice. Now, in Scripture, it talks about an interesting concept. It says that in heaven, every time any sinner repents and gives their life to Jesus, there is rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels. Now, that's an interesting concept when you think about it. Rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels. And of course, the Lord Jesus shared that, and at the time, they were not going to heaven yet. They were going to Abraham's bosom, to paradise, until he emptied it out and led captivity captive and led them to heaven after he was crucified. He had to die in time and space and history. To our knowledge, the only people that went to heaven in the Old Testament were Enoch, who walked with God and was not because God took him, and then Elijah, who went up in a chariot of fire to heaven. Everyone else went to paradise, to Abraham's bosom. And so in Scripture, it talks about this rejoicing, and it says the rejoicing is in the presence of the angels. Jesus said that while he was still in his earthly ministry. And so what that indicated was the rejoicing in heaven was the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rejoicing as we give our hearts and lives to Christ. Every time you and I share Jesus with someone and they give their life to him, we are erupting a party in heaven for the Trinity, a rejoicing party, a praiseworthy party over salvation. We see also that not only is there praise in these verses, but we see there's also glory. The Scripture talks about our salvation bringing glory to our lives. Right now, all of us here today are completely 100% justified. We were justified when we gave our heart and life to Christ. That means in the sight of God, we are just with the justice and the righteousness of Jesus given to us. And we are 100% justified. We are all partially sanctified. And this is the process of holiness taking control of our life through the Holy Spirit and him living through us and expressing the likeness of Christ. And then in the future, all of us that know Christ will be 100% glorified once we go into eternity in the presence of Christ. So in this linkage to salvation, he talks about praise, and then he talks about glory, and then he talks about honor. And we are to have an honorable salvation. Our salvation is to bring honor and glory to Christ. I want to encourage all of you, before you say anything, before you do anything, before you act in any way or make plans to act, you think about the testimony of Christ. You think about standing before the Lord Jesus. to be glorified by Him and to glorify Him with our life. There's to be an honor in our life, a respect that we are consistent. Now, none of us are going to hit 100%. All of us will fail in some degrees. We'll either fail in reality or we'll fail in perception. I was thinking about years and years ago, I was fishing with one of the men from our church, and I caught a snook. Used to, for the first years we fished here, you could keep two snook. And then they reduced it to one snook, and now the limit is like 28 inches to 32 inches. So you've got 4 inches of length that you can keep, which is pretty wild. Sometimes you have to catch 12, 15, 20 fish to have a keeper. Well, I was fishing with this man, and we were fishing on a dock, and it was loaded, and we caught a bunch of snook, let them go. They were either too large or too small. And then I caught a keeper, and that was about 10 o'clock at night. Well, we were there past midnight into the early morning of the next day. And the rules are you can keep one a day. And so after we passed over into the morning of the next day, I did catch another keeper, and I kept it. And it ruined my testimony with this man. And he didn't see the legality of it. And I said, this is a completely different day. Well, if they come, they won't know that. And they say they will because you're my eyewitness testimony. I found out later he probably wouldn't have been a dependable testimony. But a lot of times in our life we think, well, I've done the right thing. But then the perception is wrong. And so there's a dishonor. In fact, the Lord convicted my heart this morning, and that was years ago, to call this man this week and apologize to him for that apparent inconsistency with him and to make that right with him. Now, for the snook, I can't make it right because Kim and I ate it years ago. Years ago. But we see here in Scripture the idea of honoring God, that we want to glorify Him and we want our consistency where we're not living in light of each other. I'm not here, you're not here. I'm not here to please you, you're not here to please me. We're here to glorify God together and to walk for His honor and for His glory. I organized 12 softball leagues in Broward County, and one of the teams was the Seminole team. And the Seminole team won the league every year. They were like professionals. They went through the West and played in Oklahoma and out through the West, and they would come back and they could hit home runs almost at will. Well, we were playing them in the championship game, and of course I was the commissioner for the league. And so the rule I had is that the home team had to put up a testimony of salvation before the game started. So one of the home team players would have to get on the mound and share their testimony. And so we lost the flip and they became the home team. And so Moses David was their coach. And I said, Moses, who's your testimony? And he said, I went back and asked them all and we don't have one. And I said, well, you can't be the home team then. We're the home team. And so I said, and I'm going to share my testimony. So I got up on the mound before the championship. I shared my testimony. I gave an invitation, and a half a dozen of the Seminoles prayed to receive Christ, plus the umpire, Pat Nanocchio. The umpire prayed to receive Christ. And so as the game went, it was obvious Pat was biased toward us. He was excited about his new salvation. I mean, they'd throw one right down the middle of the plate against us, and Pat would say, ball. And they'd stop the game and they'd say, Pat, you're lying. It was right over the plate in the middle. He said, I'm the umpire. I gave my life to Christ. I can call it any way I want to. So he kept us in the game for half of the game, but we lost anyway. It was inevitable. But it's interesting, the glory, the honor, the joy of giving our heart and life to Christ and seeing others accept the Lord Jesus. It's a very powerful thing. So we see here that there's praise, there's glory, there's honor, there's joy in inexpressible. In Scripture, in Luke chapter 10, 17 through 20, it talks about the 70 of the disciples, the disciples and extended disciples. They were going out. They had authority over demons. They were casting out demons. And it says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Now, in my ministry life, I've had the privilege to actually deal with demons in people on some of our mission trips. I've heard them speak through them with other voices. I've heard masculine voices, much more masculine than mine, come out of little bitty girls or women when these spirits control them. And they're real. It's not superstition. In fact, we had the opportunity to deal with that once at Liberty University with a student when I was one of the dorm counselors. And we saw this girl, and God gloriously delivered her and saved her and changed her. And that can be exciting. How can anyone tell you that it's not true when you see it and experience it personally? That's the power of our testimonies. Now, most of us say, I'll never experience anything like that. Well, get out there and you can. It's available out there, I want to tell you, in the world today. But Jesus said, it's not miracles. It's not deliverance from spirits. It's not even these supernatural events. We're to rejoice in our salvation, that God has cleansed us, forgiven us, and granted us the righteousness of Christ as a free gift. And so there's a joy inexpressible, full of glory. Secondly, our certain salvation is prophesied. The reason I believe, I'm an evidence person. I believe in apologetics. I believe in evidences. I live that way. I'm here today standing before you because of the evidences of Christ. That's why I bear witness to him. That's why I share him every opportunity I can. Because the evidence demands a verdict. And the evidence is there. So, the evidence is prophecy, for one thing. Our certain salvation is prophesied. If you look back in our passage together, we can see in verses 10 and 11 a reference to this. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made certain search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. If you got your Bible, hold your hand here, and in Psalm 22, verses 6 through 18, we see one of the most vivid prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion. Now, there are different numbers given, but one general number assigned to just the specific prophecies relating to Christ's crucifixion only, that there's 25 different prophecies. And for all of them fulfilled explicitly, vividly, literally with the Lord Jesus Christ. And virtually all of them out of his control. One of those passages is Psalm 22, one of these messianic passages. And they're so vivid that priests, Jewish priests, will avoid them because it's quite obvious when you go through it that it is Christ and it is the crucifixion of Christ. Now, crucifixion was a Phoenician form of punishment that the Romans adapted and perfected and were used at the time of Christ with the Jewish Empire. And it was meant to be shameful. It was meant to be a degrading type of death, the worst, the worst, the worst. And it was for that. So here we see a prophecy written by King David 1,000 years before the crucifixion of Christ, a millennia. And here's what it says in verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag their head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. You remember the taunts. Well, if you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. Ask God to deliver you. And we sing hymns. He could have called how many angels? 10,000 angels. Yet thou art he who didst bring me forth from the womb. Thou didst make me trust when upon my mother's breasts. Upon thee I was cast from birth. Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. Then he said, be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have circled me. They open wide their mouth at me. As a ravening and a roaring lion, I'm poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And thou dost lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all of my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. What specificity with the Lord Jesus Christ in every case, every incident, 1,000 years prophesied before. The Old Testament saints look forward to Christ, just like you and I look back to Christ and the work that he did. We're 2,000 years advanced. They were 1,000 years behind. 3,000 years for us in this scenario. And we look at all these details. The piercing of his hands and feet. And the idea of his heart melting like wax. Generally, what killed people in crucifixion on the cross was a combination of two things. It was suffocation when they could no longer push up for a breath, when all their strength was gone, or the pain was too great. Jesus wasn't just tied to the cross with ropes or vines. He was nailed to it. Most of them were tied to it. And we see here that what happens is the combination of breathing stresses the heart and causes a heart attack. And generally they die. Most people die of what's called congestive heart failure in their senior years. And that has to do with respiration also, congestion of the heart. And we see that in this prophecy, these details are there in such specific description of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that this passage from Peter talks about the prophecies that relate to it. And then we see finally that our certain salvation is preached. It's proclaimed. It does you no good to live a good life in front of your neighbors if you don't identify it with Christ verbally. Last week, my son-in-law, Josh Gardner, spoke to you. Previous youth pastor here, and he talked about Uncle Sam, one of the pastors in our family, our extended family. He's with the Lord now. And he was talking to Joshua about mission trips, and he says, don't give me this lifestyle evangelism. You've got to proclaim him. You've got to share him. We've got to speak for him. We've got to share our testimonies. We've got to identify with him verbally. Our verbal, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They must hear it. We must share it. Even the Ethiopian eunuch who was searching God for God with all his heart as the Spirit was drawing him, He had been in Jerusalem, drove all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. Back in the desert on his chariot, he still had to have Philip explain to him salvation. And he said to him, "How can I understand except someone explain?" And so we see this idea of proclamation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, one of the great 16 verses, the 3:16 of the Bible. "And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh," the King James says, "was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory." I had the opportunity to share the gospel last Thursday at our vacation Bible school with the kids, and 24 of them, 24 of them prayed to receive Christ. And that is exciting. In fact, they say now, most of the children that give their life to Christ, the bigger majority portion of them across our nation, do it in vacation Bible school or in backyard Bible clubs, but that type of venue. And the idea is we are preaching a certain salvation, a salvation for people to receive. Now, you and I get used to it if you're in a Bible preaching church, which you are. You hear it every Sunday, and we can tend to take it for granted. But in actuality, there is a dearth of this truth across the world, even in churches. The salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a godly young black woman visiting one of the high church liturgical churches up north, and she came in. She sat down. The pastor was very austere, very liberal. He was reading his sermon, had his glasses down on the end of his nose, just peering, reading his sermon, his entire sermon. And as he was reading along, he came across the name Jesus Christ. Well, the young woman goes, "Oh, praise God, Jesus Christ, my Lord, hallelujah." Everybody stops, all the congregants stare at her for a minute, very uncomfortable. Pastor pauses, leers over his glasses, continues to read. Comes across Jesus' name again. She goes crazy. Hallelujah, glory to God, praise Jesus. Finally, one of the ushers comes down the aisle and says, "Ma'am, you've got to stop doing this." And she says, "Well, I've got religion undefiled before the Father." And he said, "Well, you didn't get it here, so be quiet." We need to be glorifying God. We need to be rejoicing in Jesus. We need to be proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And that's what we're working toward. That's what we're trying to do here, and then with even a greater profile in a new location. Literally, when we drive over today and we're going down 76 and you cross over Pomeroy and then it curves around to the right, soon as it straightens out, you can see for 1 mile into the corner. And in the corner is our property. And there's a Australian pine tree standing there like a pole, and you can see it the entire way for 1 mile. And every time I look at it, I don't see that tree anymore. I see a cross there. We're going to give you a visual depiction of that shortly with computer generation, with CG. But I see a cross there, and I know from what I've been told, 29,000 vehicles every day will be driving to that cross every day of the Lord Jesus Christ. A sign there with a quote from Jesus, contemporary quote, "You must be born again, Jesus Christ." Our school there, an unwed mother's home there, an assisted living home there to minister and win seniors to Christ, and some other ministries, unlimited ministries, tremendous amount of space there to glorify God, to glorify the Lord Jesus, and to reach people, to just draw them in. My father used to always talk about a sign net and stretching a sign net across the creeks in Mississippi. And they did this, they stretched it, and the current of the creek would bring the fish into the net. And sometimes he said the fish would jump over the net, and he or his brother would stand there with a big stick and bat them like a baseball onto the shore so they wouldn't get away. Now, we're not going to hit anybody with a stick, but I think about stretching a net across 76, that's the entrance gate to Martin County, and reaching people for Christ, catching people for Christ, leading them to Jesus, changing their lives, giving them the certain hope of salvation, and preaching the full counsel of God, all of it. What's perversion, what's sin, we'll call it that. We'll call sin, sin. The bad news makes the good news the good news. That's where conviction comes from. And the idea of reaching people for Christ, and we want to invite as many as want to come along and help us in reaching people for Jesus. But that's what we're looking at here in 1 Peter, is a certain salvation, an absolute salvation, a salvation that doesn't just change our life here, but takes us into eternity forever and ever. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you, dear God, for the certain salvation that you've given us. We ask you, please, dear God, to pour your Spirit out and speak to hearts. Those that are here, those listening by the radio, those that are on Facebook or YouTube, if there be any there, Lord, that don't know you, please knock at their heart's door and draw them to yourself. And we'd like to invite you, if you're not sure of your relationship with Christ, to just say, dear Lord Jesus, please come into my life and forgive my sins and cleanse me. Thank you for dying for me. I love you, dear Lord, and I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I want to invite you to respond to God today. If you've given your heart and life to Christ, or if you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart about membership in this local New Testament church, we want to invite you to come. Let's stand together and you sing as we come. I'd like to again give you some orientation. I want to encourage you to put your name on one of the ribbons. And we're going to receive an offering at the doors also on your way out for our benevolence, as we do every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. And our ushers will be there. But I want to encourage you, there's some, I believe, some Sharpies here and more ribbons on the table if you need one. And then we'll make our way to our cars and go. And we've got some men there directing you and helping you on the parking so we can get as many vehicles in orderly fashion. And if you're handicapped, just roll the window down, tell them, I have trouble getting around, and they'll let you through over to park near the tent. And there's some that have left a little early, setting up chairs for us. And so I want to encourage you to just plan. And if you can help us at the end with the takedown, that would be great. But praise God for you. So you're dismissed. Let's go.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stuart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stuart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
Hello, I'm Darrell Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message, and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you, and thank God for you.